ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 24, Text 18. The chapter entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. We'll go for translation and purport. Translation by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Below the planet Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaj Virochan Bali Maharaj, who is celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as a son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all the 3 words. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent king Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttam Shloka, he who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit prayers. And his devotees such as Bali Maharaj are also worshipped by Punya Shloka, verse that increases one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to his Lord, his wealth, his kingdom, and even his own body. Sarvatma Nivedana Bali. The Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a Brahmana beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor by donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of Krishna conscious movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other hand, those who collect contributions on behalf of International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any other purpose than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So today we are reading from the 5th canto. The chapter is describing the subterranean heavenly planets, and this verse particularly describes about the planet in which Bali Maharaj resides. And in further, his qualities and glorification is mentioned in this verse. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in the purport how a devotee, when he surrenders everything at the lotus feet of Lord, the Lord also reciprocates back with the devotee by giving him all protection. So here in this purport, then Srila Prabhupada again gives one more very clear indication to us that when we give everything for Krishna, we'll never be a loser. In spite of that, we'll get much more things in return. So that one should not be hesitant to give. At the same time, those who are receiving on behalf of the Lord, they also should be extremely careful using whatever they have received in the transcendental service of the Lord. So let us see how this thing begins. The main, the life of Bali Maharaj, he gives us the lessons of offering everything at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That means surrendering everything that we have to the Supreme Lord. So we can see this as it's easy for a person who may give his possessions to the Supreme Lord. But when person gives his own body, he gives his own head, then the surrender becomes complete. And that is why it is mentioned that it is Atmanivedam. It's a complete surrender. Because it is easy for us to part with some of our things. But a complete surrender means you give everything, including your body, including your head. And Bali Maharaj did that. And because of that, he is glorified. So how all these things happen? Sri Prabhupada always used to say that we have to develop love for the Supreme Lord. So how the love can be developed? If the love has to be there, that means there must be a beloved, there must be a person, there must be object of love. And as the love develops between, in this material world, between a man and woman, where if one person is love of someone else, he tries to please that person. He will always find out what are the likings of that person, what he can do so that other person will be pleased. So similarly, a devotee also constantly thinks, what should I do so that my supreme worshipable Lord will be pleased? And that's how he'll be arranging in his life in such a way, right from the morning till the evening, where he'll be constantly working for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord sees that this particular devotee is reciprocating me, putting full faith on me, depending completely on me, then Lord also feels obliged and he also gives the ultimate protection to his surrendered devotees. And this is how we have seen in this particular story that is mentioned in this verse about Bali Maharaj. So let us go forward in one sense into the 8th canto and see how this story is taking place and what we can learn from his story. Because we can imbibe so many lessons from his story, from his katha, and which we can apply all those things in our life, and we will also stand to benefit. So what happens is, when Bali Maharaj was performing yajna, he had his family priest, that is Shuklacharya, and he was giving him all the guidance. And when in that sacrificial anira, Vamandev appears. And when Shukracharya sees Vamandev, and then he hears that Vamandev is begging for 3 paises of land, and Bali Maharaj is about to fulfill that promise. But Shukracharya could clearly see that this is our enemy, Lord Vishnu has come in the form of Vamandev. And he is going to take everything from Bali Maharaj. And if he takes everything from Bali Maharaj, then what will happen to me? Because his source of livelihood was dependent on Bali Maharaj. Whatever donations Bali Maharaj would give, on that he would stay. So Shukracharya started calculating in his mind that if Bali Maharaj gives all his possession to this Vamandev, then how I can maintain myself? And then he starts giving all arguments and starts preaching to Bali Maharaj so that he doesn't give any possessions and doesn't fulfill his promise. So in reply to Shukracharya's point, the Bali Maharaj says that I have given promise to this brahmachari and I must fulfill this promise. Because I am coming in a great family. I am a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is glorified all throughout the universe. And how can I withdraw my promise? If I withdraw my promise, it will be held that I am greedy for the money. And Bali Maharaj, like he received the seed of devotional service from his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj always maintained that devotion in his heart. And because he is thinking about the Lord, when a person meditates on the Lord, naturally the result will be he gets purified. So that purification was taking place, and that same Supreme Lord is now appeared before him. And even though he was coming in a disguised form as Brahmachari beggar, but Bali Maharaj could see that is the same Lord who is standing before me and begging. So in order to refute the arguments of Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj was saying that just because of greed for money, how I will not fulfill the promise which I have given it to him. And then second reason that he gives it is that if I don't fulfill my promise, that means I will be a liar. And it is said that Mother Earth, she can bear weight of all big mountains and so many other things. But if a person is a liar, then Earth says, I just can't bear that person's weight. So if I don't fulfill a promise, then I will be considered as a liar, and Mother Earth will not be able to tolerate my behavior. Then again he further says that I don't fear that I may have to go to the hell, or by giving everything I'll become a poor person, or I will be in the distress. Even if I let the ocean of distress come in my life, or I may fall down from my exalted position as a ruler of three worlds, or even the death may come, but that will not be as painful to me as cheating this Brahmana, because I have given word to this, and so I must fulfill. And I don't care whether I go to hell, I don't care whether I become poor, or ocean of distress comes to me, that once upon a time I was a ruler of the three worlds and now I am just a pauper. But still, I would like to keep my word. And then he says that since at the time of death, we are going to lose everything. So today or tomorrow, the death will come and I will have to leave everything behind and go somewhere else. So while I am alive, why not I use whatever I have for some valuable cause? And if I do that, I am going to get benefit out of it. And then further he says that there are very rare cases where one gets an opportunity to donate everything for the welfare of others. Because what was Shukracharya was saying, that there is no need for you to fulfill this promise. Scripture says that under these circumstances, if you don't keep your word, still you will be protected. But Bali Maharaj wanted to show that in the history there are examples of total sacrifice. Because Shukracharya may ask, now where is the example where people have donated everything? So he says that rarely person will get this opportunity to donate everything to the Supreme Lord. Because he had in the mind the example of Dadichi, he had in the mind the example of Maharaj Shibi. So all these personalities have donated everything for the Supreme Cause. So why should I not give this insignificant piece of land for the service if the Supreme Lord is himself coming and asking? So why should I not give this just insignificant piece of land? And there are examples of total sacrifice that how everything has been used for the service of the Lord. Because in Bhagavad Gita it is said that when the death comes, everything is taken away. Lord comes in the form of a time, and when he comes in the form of time, everything has to be left behind. And here the same Supreme Lord is asking. He has appeared before me and is personally present, and it's my fortune that I can see the Supreme Lord face to face. So when I am in such a situation, how can I refuse to keep my word? And then he said that the great kings in the past, they have fought many fierce battles, then done so many things. And that after some time, in the course of time, they died. But those who had done great heroic acts, their reputation still remains intact today. So even though they are dead, they continue to live in the form of their reputation. So if I do some sacrifice in such a way, which is total sacrifice, then even if I had to die, which eventually every person has to die, so I may die, but still I will continue to live as my reputation. Because Chanakya Pandit also says that the life is short. Any time death will come. So it's better to use this life for some noble cause, for which the people of the world can remember. People of the world can take some inspiration and will be able to make some positive change in their own life. So this is how Bali Maharaj, he refuses to obey his own spiritual master, who prevents him to surrender to Lord Vishnu, and that is why he is considered as one of the Mahajans. And then we see that Bali Maharaj further keeps giving his side of argument to Shukracharya, where he says that in the past there are many kings and they were true Kshatriyas, they gave their life in the battlefield. But rarely is a person who has got a chance to donate all his property to a deserving saint. And I have this opportunity. This is a brahmachari and has come in the form of a Brahman brahmachari, and he is begging. So I must give these things, my whole kingdom to him, even if he asks for it. So he further says that by giving charity, a person becomes glorified. Because all this possession may be lost by some reason or other. But if I give this as a charity to a deserving person, I will be glorified. Because there are many incidences we see in this world. People are very wealthy, but they lose their wealth because sometimes they take to intoxication. There are so many people, there are so many examples we see in day-to-day life, that people were very wealthy, somehow or other they took to this bad habit of drinking, and all their wealth got lost in that. Some people, they take to the habit of gambling, and it's such an addiction that ultimately they lose everything that they have. And some people may take to prostitution, some people may go in some intoxication, or some people business suddenly goes down and they one day they become completely penniless. So if I lose money in this way, I will not be glorified. And wealth is like that. Lakshmi is considered a chanchal. She will always go. So if a person loses money because of all these things, he will be not honored. But whereas person gives a charity for a good purpose, he will be recognized all throughout the world. So these are the reasons why I would like to give whatever this Vamandev is asking. And then he was saying, like, The purpose of all yajnas, purpose of all activities that we do is to please Lord Krishna. And if the same Lord Krishna is present in front of me, and if he wants to protect me, he will protect me. Or if he wants to punish me, he will punish me. So whatever this Supreme Lord wants to do, let him do it. I have to carry out whatever order he gives. And Srila Prabhupada gives nice understanding in the purport, where he says that how Lord Shiva, he glorifies that worship of Vishnu is the supreme. Of all forms of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the supreme. So here I am getting a chance to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why not I take the chance and get myself glorified? And if the Lord's intention is to take everything from me, then let that happen. And if Lord's intention is to punish me severely, then I am ready to accept whatever the Lord says. And that's understanding came because Srila Prabhupada says that Bali Maharaj was trained by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore he was not misguided by the so-called spiritual master. His spiritual master was trying his best so that he can deviate from donating everything, but still, because Bali Maharaj had nice training, he could save himself from so-called spiritual master. So the example which Bali Maharaj is giving is that of a full surrender, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in his prayers that the Lord may protect me or Lord may not protect me. Whatever is his desire, let that desire happen. And that's how the pure devotees of the Lord, they are ready to abide by the will of the Lord, whether Lord protects or kills. But the dharma of a living entity, in all circumstances, one has to surrender to the Supreme Lord and one has to continue to worship Lord Vishnu. And this is the lesson you will find is given by all the acharyas, as today is the appearance day of Ramanujacharya. He also gave this understanding that when he is said that devotees of the Lord, when they associate with a materialistic person, Lord becomes very displeased. It's a painful for the heart of the Lord to see that his devotees are going and associating with materialistic person. And he used to say, it's like as if a king, if his queen goes to a Shudra for begging, naturally it will be painful for the king. Because if king wants, he's the highest, richest person in the state, and he can award whatever the queen wants. But the king, instead of seeking, the queen, instead of seeking the shelter of a king, goes to undeserving person and tries to beg. King knows her desire will not be fulfilled, because how much a pauper person can give? So what's the point for a devotee to take the shelter of any other process than to take the full shelter of the devotees of the Lord? Because here Bali Maharaj is taking full shelter, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also reciprocating in the same way, offering full protection to him. But many times what happens is, a devotee is, because of lack of faith in this, they try to take shelter somewhere else by thinking that if I do some worship for the demigods, or if I go to some other processes, maybe I will benefit. But then what happens is, it pains to the Supreme Lord, because Supreme Lord can give us full protection. The moment we surrender, immediately Supreme Lord will personally take care, and that is evident in all the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So once somebody takes to the process of devotional service, we should understand that it's our benefit that we take total shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, discarding all other shelters in all other processes. Because in this Kali Yuga, the process that work is a Sankirtan Yajna. And by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can be successful. So here Bali Maharaj is also giving us this main example as we read in this translation, that till today Bali Maharaj is staying in the planet of Sutala and the Supreme Lord is standing at his door, at his door as a guard. So the lesson that we understand is that why we should take a shelter when the best protection is offered to us by the Supreme Lord. And it's painful for the heart of the Supreme Lord to see his devotees are wasting his time seeking shelter at the places who can't actually give you real shelter. So after giving these things, Bali Maharaj makes up his mind and he gives the charity to Vamandev. And Vamandev, as all of you know, the story goes, in within two steps he takes everything. And when he's unable to give anything, the Garuda, he understands the intention of his Supreme Master and he arrests Bali Maharaj. And then Vamandev says to Bali Maharaj that due to false ego, you promised that you will give everything, but you could not fulfill your promise. So you must live in the hell for some time. So you will have to go to the hell for not fulfilling your promise. But here we see that he went to the hell on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't go to hell for as a reaction for one's own karmic deeds. And when person does on the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead, even going to the hell also becomes auspicious. Because wherever a devotee goes, he will be engaged always in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So whether he is in the heaven or whether he is in the hell, the external things makes no difference for him. And after that, we find, after that conversation, Bali Maharaj replies to Vamandev and he says that what is the use of this material body? Because this material body will one day leave its owner. After some time, it has to leave this owner and go somewhere else. The real owner is the spirit soul. So the body will eventually leave the spirit soul. Then he was saying that all the family members are there, but they are simply plundering all the wealth. If the family is not Krishna consciousness, all the relatives and the family members, their intention is how I can squeeze all the wealth for my own satisfaction, how I can plunder. And if family members sees that this person is not able to give us any sense gratification, immediately family member will leave that fellow and go somewhere else where they can able to gratify their senses. We have seen so many examples in the past that when a rich person becomes a poor, all his friends and relatives, they abandon him because he is not able to give them any sense gratification. And then he was saying that even if my wife is there, she will also increase all the material conditions. So when, why should I remain attached to all these things about the family, home, country, community? Because if I keep serving to all these people, all my valuable energy will be lost. So it's better that I follow the path that is enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita of surrendering, where Krishna says that sarva dharma parityajam mam ekam sharanam vada, that let us offer everything at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what happens is, for a common man, it becomes difficult for him to understand. He just can't understand what is this, that I have to surrender everything. Because for a common man, the everything is his family, his society, his country. And it's beyond his conception that he has to offer everything to the Supreme Lord. Because he doesn't understand that if he offers, he gets the best benefit in back. Like people take the life insurance policies. And what happens is a person takes the policy, he keeps paying the premium, and actually speaking, he doesn't get any benefit because family members will get benefit after he dies when the policy becomes mature. So he's working hard, but he doesn't get the real benefit because the policy will pay only when you die. But the Krishna consciousness is the best life insurance because it will pay you dividend in this life as well as in the next life also. Because whatever you do in the Krishna consciousness is your permanent asset. And actually taking shelter of Krishna consciousness will give you the best assurance. So this is the best policy that we have. That somehow or other surrender everything at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And all the great personalities are teaching this. We have seen the grandfather of Bali Maharaj, Prahlad. He was also saying this. His own father, Hiranyakashipu, was saying that don't give anything to the Supreme Lord. Why are you worshipping the Supreme Lord? And only thing that Prahlad Maharaj could have done is he would have just kept quiet. But still, he went against his mighty father, Hiranyakashipu, and established the real glories of devotional service. And similarly here, Bali Maharaj is also exhibiting the same quality. That his own spiritual master is saying that don't give anything to this so-called Brahmana. He's not a Brahmana, but a Vishnu in disguise. But still, the great authorities like Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything to the lotus feet of Vamandev. And then further, Bali Maharaj says that actually people are in illusion due to the temporary opulence. They do not know that they are facing death at every moment. And it's by providence I have been forcefully dragged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And now since I have come to this stage, it's my benefit, it's my best interest is that I surrender everything to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the letter written to His Holiness Satsarup Maharaj about this incident. He is saying that at first Shukracharya must have taught Bali Maharaj that the purpose of all sacrifice is to worship Vishnu. Because any Karmakandya Brahmana, he knows at least this much, that Vishnu is the recipient of all yajna. And he must have taught all these principles to that. But when actually Lord Vishnu came and the time of surrender came, that time this Shukracharya made calculations that I am dependent on Bali Maharaj. If he gives everything to that, then what will happen to me? So let me change my stand. And that's why he changes his stand and says that now don't give. And at this moment, Bali Maharaj revolts. He says that till now you were saying that Vishnu has to be satisfied, purpose of the yajna is Vishnu. And now when I am about to do that, you are changing your stand and you are saying now don't do that. And Srila Prabhupada further says that why we considered Bali Maharaj as Mahajans. Mahajan means one in his footprints we can walk. We can learn from this example. So the example that he is teaching is that a spiritual master has to take us to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And any spiritual master who is not a Vaishnava, then such a spiritual master has to be given up. Because there is a custom that one accepts a spiritual master who comes in like a hereditary spiritual master. And many people still now also, they have their own family priest. And they feel that how I can give up my own family priest? It's coming in our tradition. So Bali Maharaj is giving us very clear cut example that if a person who is not coming in bona fide disciplic succession, a person who is a non-Vaishnav guru, and if he is preventing us from taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then such a person also has to be rejected. And one should take shelter at the bona fide spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession, and his conclusion will be always to surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And because of that, we consider Bali Maharaj as one of the authorities. So we see that we hear so many stories from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we have to understand what lesson we can take it from that and how to apply all these techniques in our day-to-day life. Now one may say, it's a Bali Maharaj, and because of that, he could exhibit such a total surrender. Whereas we are a common people, how can I exhibit such a total surrender? Or is it possible for a common man to do such things? But the thing that we can learn from Bali Maharaj is art of giving. Here we are saying that Bali Maharaj, he wants to give everything that he has because he gave a promise and he wanted to fulfill that promise. And he didn't care that he's losing everything just to keep his word. So it is said, like, one has to understand this art of giving, because if you don't understand art of giving, opposite of giving is hoarding. And wherever there is a hoarding, means there is a greed. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one of the three gates leading to the hell is lust, anger and greed. So unless everybody cultivates this habit of giving, otherwise what will happen is the materialistic concept is just to accumulate the things, have more and more just for myself. So we can, as per our individual capacity, we can try to imbibe this lesson of giving. Because one has to understand that your candle loses nothing when it lights another one. Usual understanding is the fear in the mind of a people that if I give somebody, I will be the loser. So why should I be a loser? Nobody wants to be a loser in this material world. Everybody wants to be on the top. But one has to understand that when a person gives it to a proper cause, he's not a loser. That's what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, that by giving, you are never a loser. If you give it for the proper propagation of transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, then you will be never be a loser. And one has to understand that no person was ever honored for what he received, but honor has been the reward for what he gave. That means throughout the history, those people who kept on receiving, nobody glorifies them. But who are the glorified? Those who gave everything, whatever they had, maybe a wealth, maybe a time, maybe intelligent words, whatever they had, they gave it. So only those who gave everything, they are the people who are glorified. And the best example which Bali Maharaj also cited was the example of Dadichi, where we see it's like a highest example of giving. And we can understand few lessons from that. That when Lord Vishnu tells demigods that if you want to win the battle, then you approach Dadichi, and Dadichi's body is so powerful, and you will be able to make a weapon from that. Dadichi's body is from his bones, which are very powerful, and then you will be able to win demons. So that's how all the demigods, they approach Dadichi. So when they approach, the first Dadichi agrees, but just to get some more instructions, he first did not agree. He says that you are coming here to ask for my body, But do you know, when person gives his body, at the time of death, the pain one endures is such unbearable. It's so painful experience. So how I can give up my body? And then he says that it's easy to give one's possession. If there is some threat to our life, we don't mind losing everything, but we will save our body. And that's why it is said that person may lose everything, he may give his possessions, but the last thing person may want to give is to give his own body. So how can I give my own body? And then, of course, demigods, somehow that they speak about some religious principles. And Dadichi actually wanted to give his body for the noble cause, so he agrees to give. So that time he also prays that if a person who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering, then if he just takes care of this impermanent body and doesn't give it for higher causes of religion, then even like immovable things will piteously cry for a person who doesn't use his body for higher purpose, because it will be a simply a waste. And we have seen this purpose, like Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport, the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and example of six Goswamis, where he says that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself was just 24 years of old. He had very affectionate mother, beautiful wife, and he had such a position, even demigods also aspire for that kind of family. And still he left everything and took the order of sannyas, and he strictly followed all the rules of the sannyas ashram. Whenever devotee would try to give any comforts to him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would immediately reject everything. So all this thing he did it just to set an example for all suffering souls in Kali Yuga, to see that how the life goal is to always surrender to the Supreme Lord. Then there is an example of six Goswamis, now who were big ministers, who were big zamindars. But what did they do? On the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to give the Krishna consciousness to these people in the Kali Yuga, they left everything, all their possessions, so that they will be able to spread this Krishna consciousness. On the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they established the temples, they excavated the places of Lord's pastimes, and then they searched all the Vedic literatures and gave the conclusion for us, for our understanding. So all these things they did, and they also followed a very strict life of renunciation. The six Goswami never even stayed under a tree for more than 3 days. So every day they would even change the place of their residence. So this is how they accepted the life of renunciation for the suffering humanity, so that the people of this world will be benefited. So that's why we have to see that when a person gives, he will be recognized all throughout the history. Whereas a person simply takes, nobody cares or nobody remembers to that person. And then further we see that when a person is unhappy seeing the distress of others and happy when he sees that others are happy, such a person is glorified. Because it's quite natural, if somebody disturbs us, we feel pain. And we always expect that nobody should disturb us. So similarly, we should also have compassionate heart and see that we also don't give pain to anyone else. And Prabhupada mentions about the Jesus Christ, that how he has himself given the instruction not to kill, but still so many slaughterhouses are maintained. So that's like a hypocrisy, that if there is some hurt to us, we feel so much of pain, and at the same time, just to gratify our senses, we are inflicting so much pain on other living entities. So any person who has some compassionate heart will never would like to give pain to others. And this is how Dadaji speaks very nicely. And then he says that this body will ultimately will be eaten by jackals and dogs after I leave this body. And all the bodily possession, the riches and relatives, whatever I have to engage them in the benefit of others. So he was giving an example that whatever I have, my family, my possessions, whatever riches, actually we have to use it in the service of the Lord. And then he says, he takes that process, and that by that process he just leaves his body, and then demigod, they take his bones, which are very powerful, then Vishwakarma makes thunderbolt, and eventually Indra wins. So we have the example of Dadichi, he was giving, and we have the example of Indra who was taking. But who is glorified in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam? A person who is giving, and not a person who was taking. The Indra had so much of difficulty, like if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, that many times he wins, many times he loses, and he has so much anxiety, and he is always at the receiving end. Whereas those people who gave up, they were glorified all throughout the history. All these things happened so many years ago. But still we derive so much inspiration from that, because they set an example for giving everything for the Krishna. So unless we have that habit that we should give, then we'll not be using our human form of life in a better way. Because ultimately everything has to start in our heart. And whatever small way we have to do it, we should do. Because if you just simply gather things for ourselves and don't use it for giving it to others, then ultimately all this possession will be cause of our own distractions. If you see all the saintly kings in the previous ages, they did not gather things just for themselves. Whatever they had, they always use it in the service of Krishna. If you read descriptions in Mahabharata, the opulence that Maharaj Yudhishthira had, it was so much opulent, there are pages and pages describing the opulence of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And that's how Duryodhan become envious. Duryodhan feels that I should have that opulence. But if you see how Maharaj Yudhishthira's lifestyle, that he would always use his opulence in serving so many guests. So many guests would be coming, and he would be the last person after feeding all the brahmanas, everybody, all the guests, even invalid, old people, everybody they used to feed, and then Maharaj Yudhishthira would take. His queen Draupadi, she would be the first person in that opulent palace to get up. And after feeding everybody, even the beggars and invalid people, she would be the last person to take her meal. So which we can understand that the devotees of the Lord, they know how to use the possessions. They are using all this possession to serve others. And Maharaj Yudhishthira also performed various sacrifices. The purpose for which Maharaj Yudhishthira performed the Rajasya sacrifice is, in a Rajasya sacrifice, you select the most exalted person. So the purpose of Maharaj Yudhishthira had it in his mind that I will perform this sacrifice, and when it time comes to select the most exalted person, I will select Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, at that position. That means everybody in my kingdom will have that understanding that Lord Krishna is the Supreme. So in order to teach the subjects about the proper dharma, he performed that yajna. And whereas Duryodhan also performed various yajna. The purpose for which he performed yajna was so that the people in my kingdom should feel that I am a religious person, I am following some dharma. Because if I don't do this yajna, the people of my own kingdom will reject me. So in order to get some sympathy from my subject, I am doing these things. So externally speaking, you will find both of them are performing different kinds of yajnas. But the intention is entirely different. One person's intention is to satisfy the Lord, use everything that is having its for the satisfaction of the Lord. Whereas another person's intention is so that how I will be able to keep my wealth, the people will be satisfied, they will not revolt, they will not reject me, and my position will remain the safe. So how do this quality comes? How does generous heart comes? Because we read all these stories, but how one starts giving, how this process starts, is that first one has to be very grateful about what you have. Because generosity is very hard to come when you yourself are not satisfied with what you have. If you're not satisfied with what you have, you'll be always hankering to get more and more and more. And this thing will never stop. So this thing is like, the generosity comes from the heart which is content, and it doesn't come from the heart which is greed. So when you are going to accumulate the things, what is there? You have a greed in the heart. So when you have a greed in the heart, it's very difficult for us to give anything. Whereas Maharaj Yudhishthir, and if you see all those kings, they were content whether they were in the palace or whether they were in the forest under a tree. His heart was content, and whatever he had, he gave it. Whether he was in the palace or whether he was in the forest, he never neglected the principle of giving. Because unless we understand that this greed has no end, if you want to take the mundane examples also, even a big industrialist like it's been quoted that the Rockefeller, he is one of the millionaires. He also says the same thing, that I admit that I have made billions, but they have brought me no happiness. So the purpose of acquiring money, because we think that we'll be happy if you have lots of money with us. But those people who have lots of money, they have given their realized statement that even I have so much, but this money has not given me happiness. So if you just keep thinking that at this stage, how can I give? I have so little, let me work hard, let me gain this much, then I can think of giving to others, then I will be benevolent. But the thing is that if you are not satisfied with little what you have, suddenly your heart is not going to change when you get many things. If you become a rich, if you don't have a heart to give, then things will not come. And a person who has a heart to give, he will always give. See, we heard like when Maharaj was talking about His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami, and he was narrating his early days when they were staying in New York and a very poverty-stricken days. Because his father was not providing them proper maintenance, and mother had to take care of so many children, she was not able to even provide them proper clothing. And many times he would have torn clothing on his body. And whenever Bhaktitirtha Maharaj's friends would come to visit him, and mother would see that they have more torn clothes than him, then she would give his torn clothes to his friends. So the thing is, a person can be content in any situation of his life. But when you teach this lesson to a children, that if you find, if another person is more distressful condition, we can give that person whatever we have, then when you become, when you grow up, when you have the facilities, it will not be difficult for you to give. But if you are not content with what you have, and then no matter how great a person becomes, you will never have a heart to give. So the understanding that we have to have is by reading the scriptures is that one has to always thank a Supreme Lord in whatever condition he keeps it to us. Because we may read these stories but will not be able to imbibe much from this unless we start developing this habit of always thinking that we have to keep people's first. Because if you see, if a person who is a leader, let us say that person, how great his leader is, will not be measured that how many persons serve that people, but how many people he is serving. It's not that I am a great leader because I have so many servants and so many people serving me. A great leader means we can see that he is serving so many people. And that's how that heart is there, where he is, wants to give everything. Because a Vaishnava who has a compassionate heart, he can never tolerate the sufferings of others. And that's why we see Srila Prabhupada, he went to USA. Why did he leave his peaceful life in Vrindavan and went to a place where he had absolutely no help and he had to undergo so many personal inconveniences? It's just that a strong desire to help a suffering people. But Prabhupada knew, if I give Krishna consciousness to these people, it will be for their real benefit. And because of this strong desire, Srila Prabhupada went to USA. Because Vaishnava will always keep the comforts of others first and then ours. And that's why today, like Ramanujacharya also, when he receives a mantra from his spiritual master, he collects all the villages in the all the villages at one place. He goes to the rooftop of the temple and give that mantra to everybody. And when his spiritual master becomes very angry that why you gave openly this mantra, because he didn't want to give to everybody. So what reply Ramanujacharya gave us is, I don't mind personally if I go to hell, but by chanting this mantra, all the people will be benefited. So for benefit of all others, let me suffer. So when person has got this kind of understanding, then it becomes easy to give. That let me see the comforts of others as a priority. Because what happens is when you put yourself first, what a common person always has understanding, that he feels that if I got a lot of position, I'll be happy. And that's how he works so hard. He does so many things. Because it's a common understanding that owning some position means is if you have your own things, if you have your own car, you feel that you can control that. You don't have to depend on so many other public transport systems. You have your own thing. You can go wherever you want. So, possession means there has to be ownership. And then when you own the things, you feel that it's giving me pleasure. But actually that's an illusion. When a person thinks that if I have possessions, my own possession means I will control that. If I control that things means that controlling mentality will give me pleasure. And I will be happy. But if you see, actually speaking, that's an illusion. Because whatever possession you may have, it's material possession. And ultimately, it's going to give you a pain. Let's say a simple automobile. There is a great desire that I can have the most latest or most comfortable one. But the same vehicle is also giving us trouble. Like there are so many people die in automobile accidents. There will be so many pollutions. And when you are driving, maybe for some important visit or some important work, and sometimes your own car doesn't work. So the same thing which you think that if I possess, if I own, will give you pleasure, but that same thing also can be a cause of your own death also. If you just travel on the highways, and you will see that so many vehicles are lying on the both sides of the road, and you can imagine what will be the condition of the driver. So the people feel that possession can give happiness, but actually that's an illusion. And so one has to see that the desire to possess should not take control of our lives. A desire to give should be the prime focus. Because what happens is we work so hard to make money. If you just make money, we are considered as materialistic. And so many people try to make money, but they don't make it. So the society calls them that they are like losers. In society, so many people make money and just keep it, but they are considered as a miser. Nobody likes miser person. A miser may have a big family, big relatives, big friends. But you just imagine if a father who is a miser has lots of money and doesn't give anything to a son, will that son like his father? Will wife like a husband who has a lot of things but doesn't give anything? So you work hard, you make money but don't give, then you are considered as a miser. Nor you will enjoy, nor your loved ones will be enjoyed. Or let us say you make a lot of money and you spend a lot of money also. And still you will be considered as a spendthrift, like you are spending so much money for useless things. And still the society will blame you, that you don't have any intelligence how you use your money. Or let us say that you work hard, you make a lot of money, and you die. And while dying you have still a lot of money, and just because you can't carry that money with you, then you are considered as a fool, that you worked so hard for this money and you got so many karmic reactions for that and you couldn't take anything, and the next life you have to start from scratch one and you have to begin for one, then what's the use? According to the scriptures, it's not something for which you should have spent your life. So that's why always one has to see that some part of my life will be working hard, gaining things, collecting, and there has to be a part of life where I give also for the proper cause. Otherwise, just a simply accumulation, and if there is no desire to give, then it's not beneficial. When Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture here in Bombay, he was mentioning that all of you are businessmen, you are paying tax to the government, because government is providing so many things, so you are paying tax to the government. But Krishna is providing you so many facilities, he's giving you sunlight, he's giving you moonlight, he's giving you food, he's giving you land. So where is the income tax for Lord Krishna? You are also supposed to pay tax to Lord. So we forget this, if you just don't pay your electricity bill because state is providing you electricity, the department will cut your electric supply. So when the Supreme Lord is providing us so many facilities, it's why not we give tax to the Lord? We have some obligations to the Supreme Lord, and we have to understand that we have to repay the debts that one has to the Supreme Lord. And the beauty of devotional services is that it's not to perform devotional service you have to be wealthy or you need few things. Whatever you have, if you simply apply it in the service of the Lord will be pleased. So some people give life to the Supreme Lord. Some people are not able to give life, then they give their wealth for the service of the Supreme Lord. Or some people are not able to give their life, they are not able to give their wealth, but they give their intelligence to the Supreme Lord. Krishna accepts that also. If you are not in that position where you can part with these two things, even if you just do little thing, like give intelligence, like if you organize this festival, or if you meet such and such person that will help you to spread Krishna consciousness, or if you just help in planning some festival, planning to propagate Krishna consciousness, Krishna will recognize even that also. And if somebody says, I can't give him an intelligence, then you can serve Krishna simply by your words. The Bhagavad Gita says that surrender unto me. So if you say that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and it's duty of living entity to surrender unto him, if you just chant this Maha Mantra, your life will be successful. Krishna will be even pleased by that. So the process of surrendering to Krishna or process of giving to Krishna is very easy. Whatever state you are, whatever condition you are, you will be able to please Lord Krishna. Even by giving life, wealth, intelligence or words. So it's not that one has to have so many things where one needs to scratch his head, how I can serve this Krishna. Because Krishna sees whether you have a heart to give to the Lord. Because everything is given by the Lord himself. And that's why if you see the whole Vedic society was arranged in such a way where the Grihastha ashram had a facility to collect and all other three ashrams were dependent on him. So even the Grihastha had a facility to collect, they also had a tremendous responsibility of sharing what they had. And a simple thing like it is mentioned in the scriptures that if a Grihastha, he cooks his food, offers it to the Lord, and after that he goes out and invites, if there is any guest, please come and have prasad in my house. So what's the principle that is there is whatever I have, let me share with others. So the facility is there where you can accumulate. At the same time, the culture was such where you naturally learn to give to others. That whosoever is a poor, whosoever is needy, whosoever cannot maintain, one has to give. And that's how you will see the previous kings would maintain so many free food stalls or fruit booths, annachatras, where they would take care of all people in the renounced order, all weak, old people who couldn't maintain themselves. The state would do it. Because state collects the taxes for the benefit of the citizens, and then Jai Sri Radha Gopinath ki. And the king would not just accumulate the things, he would share his wealth with the citizens by maintaining things, where he himself would learn how to give. And then people always have that thing in mind that if I give to the Krishna, I'll be the loser. But the thing is, as I mentioned, as the Krishna sees the heart, that there was an article in BTG many years back where Prabhupada himself told one story that there was one Gurukul and so many boys were there in that Gurukul. And one boy was from a very poor family. So one day, the teacher said that we'll be celebrating one program. So all of you should get some things from your home. And this teacher was not charging any fees. So naturally it was right for on his part to tell students to get something for the program. So this poor boy comes to the home, tells his mother that I have to give something. But the mother said, we are so poor, there are nothing which we can give it to this program. But the boy starts crying that I have to give something because teacher wants it. All other my colleagues, all my class friends, they will bring. So she says that what can I do? I have nothing. But I have heard that the Supreme Lord is known as Din Bandhu. And if you go to the forest and search for him, he will give you something. So naturally, on the faith of his mother's words, the boy goes to the forest and he starts calling the Supreme Lord by the name Din Bandhu. And he starts offering prayers, starts searching the Lord, and there was no reply. And he starts uncontrollably crying piteously, Supreme Lord. And then ultimately, the Supreme Lord appears before him. And he asks, what is your cause of crying? So he simply says that my teacher wants that I should be something for the program. So I need something. Then the Lord promises, okay, you come here on the day of program and I'll give you yogurt. You take the yogurt and give it to your teacher. So he comes back, tells the teacher that contribution from my side for the program will be yogurt. I'll bring yogurt for the festival. And then the day of festival, boy goes, and sure enough, he finds the Lord, and Lord gives a pot of yogurt to him. So this boy takes a pot of yogurt, goes to the teacher, and gives it to the teacher. But then what happens is, teacher sees that this is such a small pot, he becomes angry. He said, you promised me to bring yogurt, and this is a small pot. What will happen? So many people will come, and this is not sufficient. So angrily he breaks that pot. But then teacher sees that I broke the pot, but pot is still full. So he just lifts it. Again he breaks it. And then still he sees this pot is full. Then again he lifts it, and still he finds that pot is full. So that's the time he realizes that this is not a material thing, this is a spiritual. And Prabhupada explains that whatever we give to Krishna, because our mundane logic is 1 minus 1 is 0. But Krishna is unlimited. So 1 minus 1 for Krishna is always 1. Because in infinite is unlimited. So one is never loser when he gives it to Krishna. Because just Krishna sees that this person's heart, he wants to give something to me, Krishna will always reciprocate. So no matter how much we do for propagating for the Krishna's sake, we'll never be the loser. And the best way to please Lord Krishna, it is said, is to give a shelter to Krishna's devotee. If you nicely take care of Krishna's devotees, then Krishna will definitely give you protection. We have seen in the construction time of Bombay Temple, then there were a lot of difficulties, and all the Prabhupada's foreigner disciples, they had a very tough time to stay. And then there was a P.C. Sethi who was helping Srila Prabhupada in construction of Juhu Temple. And one day when Prabhupada was giving darshan, and P.C. Sethi was busy taking care of the construction, and because his clothes were not so proper, because he was busy working with construction things, he didn't find nice to come close to Srila Prabhupada. So he just stood behind, offered obeisances, and he was about to leave. So that time Srila Prabhupada immediately noticed P.C. Sethi and called him. He said that because you are arranging for Krishna's devotee to stay, I will see that you have a house in the spiritual world. So this is the world given by the pure devotees of the Lord. And the words of pure devotee will never be false. So Srila Prabhupada saw that this person is going out of way. He's taking care of my devotees so nicely. And naturally Srila Prabhupada was so pleased with him that he could give such an assurance to him. So the thing that is mentioned here is the love is like reciprocal. Whatever you do for your beloved, definitely Krishna will also naturally reciprocate in that way. So the lesson that we are learning from this is like that, how we cultivate this habit of giving. Even mundane people who are like a great authors like Rabindranath Tagore, they also write in their literature that all that is not given is lost. So even those people also has that some kind of understanding that if you simply hoard the things, it will be lost, it will not be for your benefit. Whereas our own acharyas are giving us the same lessons, that if you simply hold it, it's not for your benefit. And Ramanujacharya also when he was about to leave his body, he also gave this very nice instruction to his disciples, because when he was about to leave, so many of his disciples gathered, and then they could see that their beloved spiritual master will be soon leaving them. And their separation from their spiritual master was so unbearable that they were thinking that let us put our life also to an end, that we will also give up our life along with our spiritual master. So Ramanujacharya, when he saw that this many of his disciples are planning like this, so he called all his disciples and called every, spoke to them one by one individually, and he gave them a very nice instructions. He says that you are thinking to end this, your body, because everybody is working for the benefit of this body, and we should not be working actually for the benefit of this body, because body, we get it as per our destiny, and it will stay with us as long as we are, that is destined to stay. So one should not endeavor to maintain this body, because whatever you do is going to end at certain time. If you are supposed to suffer, you will be suffering for that, no matter how many arrangements you make. So he was telling his disciples that you shouldn't be worrying about your own bodies, because it will go as per the fate. So then the disciples were thinking, then let me not worry about the body, but then let me go to the spiritual world. So then he was explaining that the true disciples should not have even that aspiration, that let me go back to the spiritual world, because that will hinder the Krishna's desire. So our desire should be always how I can serve my spiritual master. If you have that desire, how I can serve my spiritual master, then up to Krishna, whenever he wants, he will take us back, or he will use it the way he wants. So any desire for us to do benefit of our body, or thinking that I will go back to the spiritual world, will not be sufficient. His final instruction to his disciple was that one should always simply aspire for benefit of the spiritual master. Whatever spiritual master desires and whatever condition he wants us to keep, will do. And the real disciple will not even bother about his own salvation, his own spirit soul going back to the spiritual world. He will be simply thinking that how I can serve my spiritual master, and that will be the perfection of my life. So after this, the last thing that we Srila Prabhupada still mentions about another important point, that one point is we give, and then he is giving clear-cut instructions to the members of International Society of Krishna Consciousness, that whatever we received as a donations has to be used strictly for the purpose of propagating the Krishna consciousness. If you read the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is a description of Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj, he would visit the householder's life just at the time of milking the cows. He would just go to the householder, take the milk and go away from that. So actually, he would just take some milk which is required for the maintenance of the body. And the purpose of his visiting to the householder, so that he can give Krishna consciousness to them. He had no other intention of visiting the householder. And Prabhupada gives a very clear-cut understanding in that purport, that in that members of our society should note from the life of Sukadeva Goswami that if we are not able to give Krishna consciousness to the world, then you have no right to stay in the temple. You have no right to accept the renounced order. If you are not self-disciplined, if you don't take the responsibility of spending everything that you have received in the service of the Supreme Lord, then you have no right to accept anything on behalf of the Lord. Because everything that we are accepting on behalf of the Lord. And if it is not spent for the purpose of propagating the Krishna consciousness, actually it's a very dangerous to our spiritual life. If you read in Krishna book, where in the story of Nrugam, King Nruga, now he was giving so many charities, but he made a mistake. And in that story, Prabhupada writes that if a person steals the property of a Brahmana, then so many generations he has to suffer for his mistake, for the deed that he has done. So here, in case of when you received donation from the Vaishnavas, and if you are not able to take the proper care of it, then one can imagine how much severe consequences will be there for our spiritual life. So one has to understand the warning, clear-cut warning that is given by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. So let us summarize what we discussed today, that Srila Prabhupada very nicely giving us the example of Bali Maharaj, giving us lessons that how we can, living entity can develop loving relationship with the Supreme Lord by giving everything. And when we give to the Supreme Lord, in fact, actually we stand to gain. And when we depend on the protection of the Supreme Lord, that is the best protection available. No other protection is sufficient to give us happiness in this world. The protection of the Supreme Lord is the highest. So one has to give, and when a person receives on behalf of the Supreme Lord, he has to use it strictly for the purpose of propagating the Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Sanajipu would like to comment anything? Since it's late, we'll end here. Grantharaj.